Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There we go, Judith. Very exciting. There we go.
I'm clapping.
Hope you're good and on form today.
I think so.
I'm slightly under the weather, and I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself, but I'm going to pull myself together. I'm going to buck my ideas
up and
get on with it.
Good.
Now, listen, before you and I start rattling on, Daisy had a triumph at the... Our producer, Daisy, had a triumph at the Comedy Awards on Friday night. She is our producer, and she won the best podcast at the Comedy Awards. Sadly, it wasn't for our podcast, Judith. It was one of her other podcasts. Damn it.
Bloody hell.
And bloody buggery of shit. She won it, and most deservedly so, for Shagged, Married, Annoyed with Chris and Rosie Ramsey. But she was there, Judith. She was there on the night. I didn't watch it on the telly.
I did watch it on the telly, but got a bit bored. Well, wasn't there, you know.
Yeah, I know, we can't stand it. I couldn't even watch it because I was so jealous.
I know,
Daisy, what did you wear? Was there any food? And was it good fun?
Okay, I wore a very tight black dress.
Good
so work. Tight I could barely move in it. when I left my house, I couldn't put my shoes on. I had to totter to the taxi. And then it took me like 10 minutes to put my shoes on. It was really fun. Honestly, no food.
What?
No food. I'm telling you,
no food
I'd say a couple of breadsticks and olives. That was it.
Oh, what time did it start?
On a table full of booze. Started at about 8:30. Yeah. No, honestly, no food.
So glad we weren't invited. Yeah. Thank God.
We did have a pre-meet and we had quite a lot of snacks beforehand.
Not the same, though.
Doesn't count. Did you take any crackers? No.
I didn't have anything. Didn't have any granola. Didn't have anything.
Oh, God. Your handbag wasn't big enough, I bet. Yeah.
I took the lovely bag that you bought me for Christmas, actually.
That's nice.
That was my piece of old
So we were there. We were sort of there in kind of spirit in the handbag.
And anybody that complimented me on my handbag, I said, it's from Jenny and Judith.
It's from my other favourite podcast. Now, did you know you were going to win? Did they give you a heads up?
No, we didn't know. It was a complete surprise. And
who was awarding?
Tom Allen was hosting.
That's right.
He was great.
That's right.
I didn't go up, but Chris and Rosie gave me a big...
You should have gone up.
Oh, no, I don't want to see myself on TV. It's my worst nightmare to see myself on TV.
We'd have liked it. I'd have watched it if I'd known you were going to be on.
Me too.
So they gave you a good shout out, though.
Really lovely shout out. Yeah, and it was very good. And I met lots of lovely people. I met Kyle from Taskmaster Jenny.
Oh, my little mate.
He was so sweet. Yeah, he was lovely.
Yeah.
And it was great, but I got home to a 6-year-old with a very high temperature. So I was brought straight back down to earth.
Oh, God.
You have to sober up really quickly, don't you? You have to suddenly go, right, I'm in mum mode now. This is appalling.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I just have one night? One night.
Yeah, it was my punishment.
Why couldn't he just ask for his dad? That. And, oh dear, the poor little mite. Is he on the mend?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's a bit.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff around. Honestly, there really is. Oh, well, Daisy, we do congratulate you. We're very jealous indeed. We can barely breathe for envy. But
we're proud, aren't we?
We're slightly worried that they might take you off us. The management might say, you know, now you're an award-winning podcaster producer. We don't want you mixing with these losers. And, you know, anyway, I'll try not to be entirely paranoid throughout the episode. Daisy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And all the very best. Well done. Well deserved.
Honestly,
yes, I know. Mm. Well, she saves our bacon every bloody week, doesn't she?
She cuts us out all our chaff.
And then if we say anything unfortunate, she snips it out. If she knows we're going to get emails and texts and Twitters,
if we go
a little bit unwoke now and again, she just reminds us. She reminds us, back in line. Oh, everyone's sick. Everyone's ill. It's because of, I mean, you know, you can't blame lockdown. We had to go into lockdown and I'd never say we shouldn't have gone into lockdown. But because of lockdown, there's like this kind of bonanza of viruses around, isn't there? I mean, I'm still suffering, Judith, and I'm going into week 3.
Dear.
Yeah, I've sort of, I'm out of my sick bed. I mean, you'd be glad, and the sheets have been changed because I have to say, there was an incident the other day when I coughed so violently. Another one, yeah. But previously, there had been incidents where the sheet would dry out. This is an incident where the sheet wouldn't dry. There was a, it was another accident. Do you see what I'm saying? So that was very swiftly removed. So I've had a few changes of sheet. You'll be glad to hear.
Oh, God.
And I'm as deaf as a post on the right-hand side and still sucking Jakemans through the night. But I'm now on another course of antibiotics, which I'm having quite a sort of reaction to.
Oh, for God's sake, I know. Really?
Yeah.
This is relentless, isn't it? I'm bored with you being ill. Can I just say I'm a bit bored with you being ill now?
How do you think I fucking feel?
Put me away. Absolutely.
But no, I am up and dressed, you'll be glad to know. And I'm going to go, and I have been out of the house, mostly to go to the doctors. But
I know.
Yeah, and then we went to a gallery, and we'll talk about that later in our culture corner. And, well, you sound disgustingly well. I can't stand it.
I am quite well. I'm quite well, except I've done my back in, which is really irritating. And backache is horrible, isn't it? You know, pain.
Nobody can imagine how you feel with backache. It's one of those weird pains that you have it, and once it's gone, you forget how debilitating how awful and draining.
It yeah, it is. And I think if somebody were to say to me, you know, if you haven't had back pain, picking up a kettle is going to be really painful. You'd think, don't be so fucking ridiculous. But actually, you know your back, then it sort of obviously goes into kind of spasm, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and then any little sort of adjustment that you do, like bending over, or it kind of it just kills you.
And it's really hard sometimes to know where the actual pain is emanating from, because you sort of go into compensation mode and you start using the other side. And what did you do, Judith?
Overraked the garden because it was quite spring-like, and the snowflakes are up. And
snowflakes?
Do I mean the snowflakes? What do they call snowdrops are up?
Oh, you're a worry to me. You're a bloody worry to me. You are.
I thought, well, I'm going to tidy up the garden, and you know what it's like. You start and then you think, oh God. But you sort of always rake from one side. It's like when you've got a broom in your hand, you kind of always do it one way. Same as picking up the twins, you know, it's always on the left-hand side. So it was all right until the next day. And then suddenly I was walking around as if I'd got a cushion between my legs. You know, that funny little waddle.
Look where you look like you shat yourself, usually have, to be quite honest. occupational hazard at the moment, but there we go. Oh, Judith, I'm so sorry. Have you seen anyone?
I have. I saw a sports injury person who was really, really good.
Right.
But quite firm. Firm. There's a lot of kind of pressing in, you know, on the
knots. Was it a massage? Did you have a sports massage?
Well, kind of. I think it was kind of a big long kind of consultation, which, of course, as a hypochondriac is very pleasing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Half an hour talking about it. You're just general sort of medical. Not quite, but I felt very loved.
When people are kind to me, it just makes me cry. Takes me by surprise.
Yes, I know what you mean.
I think we think of ourselves as copers. And when somebody says to you, you actually aren't coping with this, are you? You go,
we're both quite wired in a similar way like that, aren't we? Anyway, I've got some very strenuous exercises that are, I can see, you know, I've done like one lot, but I'm already cutting corners. Do you know what I mean?
Is it squats? And,
well, it's all sorts of things, so, you know, involving those elastic stretchy things that if you're not careful, they
ping
sproin
back
in. Yeah, they do very easily. Yeah. And
take your eye out.
Yeah. Yes,
they should have a warning on them. You know, like those toenail clippers I got? There was a warning in the instruction manual about not getting a toenail clipping in your eye.
Oh, you're joking. Because they must spring out.
They can ping. Oh, got to watch your eyes, haven't you?
It is actually getting better, but it is really, and it's sort of, I don't know, it kind of, it really brings you down, backache, doesn't it?
Oh, it is just such, as I said earlier, it's a drain, Judy.
Yes, it is. It's like bad toothache. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, just because it never, I know. I see, I am actually on the mend now, I think, but this has been it's been a tricky start to the fucking year, I tell you that.
It has.
But it is, we are approaching spring. The weather's getting warmer.
I know.
Where are we on the wardrobe?
Well, I think we're jackets. I think we're almost jackets now rather than big coats, don't you think?
I think the big coat has been retired. I think my...
I hope so.
I think my leopard skin is... Well, I should sort of mothball it, really. But I think I've retired my leopard skin. I'm not quite jacket... I went out in... Oh, I've got a barber, Judith.
You've got a barber? Yeah. So we're talking gilet and a barber.
I bought the barber a couple of years ago. I had a brainstorm in John Lewis. I don't think
I've ever seen you in the barber.
Well, I'm quite embarrassed about it. But it's approaching barber weather, I feel. I haven't got Wellingtons or anything stupid like that. I think what I wanted... I mean, some people will understand this and some people won't know what I'm talking about, but... I got a barber because I couldn't afford a bell staff. And what I really wanted was a bell staff jacket.
I don't know what a bell staff is.
They're what the motorcyclists have.
A motorcyclist?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Deliveroo. Why would you want one of those?
I just wanted to look a bit rock and roll and like I got off the back of a motorbike. Yeah.
A parcel arrived yesterday that I was eagerly awaiting. Eagerly awaiting because I bought a gilet from Joule in the winter sale. I'm jolly pleased with it. I've got it on now. Really pleased with it because I was going to make one, but I found it's only £29 and it's sort of brightly coloured. Not you, it wouldn't be you.
Is it a bit patchwork?
No, come on.
Okay, I'm just checking.
It's not patchwork, but it's kind of it's not really your thing. It's a bit sort of kind of kaleidoscopy. I don't think it would be you, but I'm thrilled with it.
Sounds very snazzy, Judith. And what colourway are we talking?
I think it's on a navy blue and it's got lots of splodges on it.
Okay, I'm a bit worried about it. I think you might have to put photographic evidence of this and see what the listeners think.
Yeah, I know. It might be in the sale for a reason, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yes, I've had a bit of a spring clean. I tell you what I've just done. I thought the meds cupboard, we've got this massive great meds cupboard in the kitchen, right? I mean, it's proportionally, it is sort of as big as the kind of saucepan cupboard. That gives you an idea of how many meds and first aid we've got in it. And it had reached the stage where it was just this kind of, you know, this kind of swimming mess of pills and everything. So I went to Dunnell. You know, this is the kind of week I've had, Jenny. Yeah. Fucking exciting trip to Dunnell. And I bought these kind of storage things. And different sizes. So I've got painkillers and I've got colds and, vertigo. And I've got all, and then I've got...
Stomach problems, diarrhea.
Yes. Oh, yeah, bowels. Whole thing for bowels. And I've got my scrawly pen out and I've got...
Marked them up? Is it a magic marker? You know, one that...
I keep opening that cupboard, stand back. My life is ordered.
Oh, I think
my
that's life... another photo for the notice board, Judith. I really
indeed, do. Indeed. But you know what I found when I was doing this? I found something which I'd obviously done at the beginning of COVID, you know, when we're all terrified of dying all the time. And I'd written this thing out, typed it up and printed it out. For obviously the girls or Mike, you know, when I was taken ill and on one of those ventilators that were so terrified of going on, which was kind of almost like, not exactly my last rites, but sort of how I needed to be treated and where all my meds were and what they were, you know, and like it said.
Like they'd be able to come in and visit you while you're on
I know.
But go on, what did it say?
It said things like, you know, the things that are important to me when I'm poorly are... some fresh air, please make sure I've got a clean nightie. It was really so melodramatic. And then it was kind of where the stash of Valium was that I kind of, you know, like you and I squirrel them up, that they were to smuggle in case I needed it. Was so dramatic, honestly. Because
that's brilliant, Judith. That is actually, it's another thing. Actually, the notice board just could be photo after photo of your week this week, to be quite honest. On that topic, I've got on my desktop a file titled Corona Diaries, which I kept for the first few months of the pandemic June. Yeah.
How interesting.
So, when you sent me the podcast notes, I just thought, right, well, I'm going to dig out my... an extract from my podcast, my Corona Diaries. So this is an extract from the 18th of March, right? is to do with this show. Judith and I have decided, with producer Daisy, to try and keep the podcast going. We're doing Q&As by phone and sending them to Daisy, who will try and cobble a show together. We've had a lot of very supportive emails. Yeah. The podcast is tiny by comparison to the big hitters, but our audience are very loyal, and if it helps, then we should keep it going if we can. I also did my daily painting. Sadly, it was fucking awful, but that's not the point. The point is to do something creative and take my mind off things by doing something with my hands. Today's effort involved daffodils in a vase. The vase was okay. The flowers were shit. I was a bit cross, which is not the object of the exercise.
How funny.
We like the two of us.
But it's interesting to hear you read that out. There's something about the tone of it which really rings a bell. And it was sort of feeling, wasn't it? Because I think I jotted some stuff down, like what was going on around us. And we were kind of, you know, in this war somehow. And that, you know, maybe for posterity, people would find things like that.
Yes.
Bloody hell, look at
like
this.
Like that Radio 4 series about the war, you know, where normal people's diaries are discovered.
Exactly. Yeah. And Housewife 39 or whatever.
Yeah, that's
it is.
The one, yes.
There's this amazing place, actually, in Kent. I've been to it, that houses all those letters. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it must be massively untapped, this extraordinary sort of history of what people were going through. It's a really clever idea. And I guess somebody will do it for COVID. I tell you what, it would be amazing, wouldn't it, to go to the exhibition.
I will donate my document.
Right. Might have to be a bit more. It's very telling, isn't it? You were writing. No, it was, and it was kind of what we're doing.
But it also makes me sound about 12.
There's a bit of me. Had a bath, went to bed.
Yes, and then
I had
some peanut butter on toast.
It was a bit like that. Because the little things became massive, didn't they? But also, I remember doing one of the pods, you know, when we got into the remote sort of thing. But it was right at the beginning.
We were doing it on phones. Yeah.
It
was like a Q&A on telephones and just sort of voice notes.
Yes,
and Daisy tried to make it into a sort of listenable podcast.
I think she probably managed it. But also I remember
she deserves another comedy award for that. That's what she deserves.
Dealing with us two in lockdown. But I remember talking to you on the pod very early on about the fact that I'd sent off jeweler's gloves. You know, because we were all so terrified. I mean, it seems bad now, doesn't it? We were so terrified at touching anything from the outside.
But jeweler's gloves aren't. They're not surgical gloves.
Well, no, I know they're not. But they were kind of, because I thought I would boil wash them after each use. And these, I remember talking to you about them and thinking, I don't know what I thought I was going to do with them. I suppose go to the supermarket or maybe the outside world.
Well, I was a very early adoptee of the surgical gloves, so much so that nobody else was doing it. It was like in February I started wearing them because, you know, advanced paranoia, hypochondria, etc., etc. But because I live so near King's College Hospital, I genuinely thought sometimes I'd get on the train at Denmark Hill, which is the nearest station to King's, and I think, oh, people probably think I'm a surgeon that's forgotten to take my gloves off.
Yeah, all I need is a pair of clogs. Oh, yeah, look at me.
Sorry, I got the wrong image of clogs then. I got wooden clogs and I thought, what the fuck do you want? Anyway, you can't be surging a pair of wooden clogs. Dear God.
No, that's right. We were all wearing those horrible sweaty... and then you couldn't get hold of them. Do you remember?
Oh, I've got loads left over.
Oh,
I've got
loads. Too. At the time, you couldn't get them.
Which has always got, you know, quite useful if ever you need to do a suppository. That's what I say. Oh, God, Judith. Anyway, how is your garden looking? Because it is my, you know, my layered tulips. I mean, you introduced me to the tulip bulb.
Indeed.
A couple of years ago. My layered tulips are thrusting.
Oh, are they? Oh, yes. Thrusting. That's a good verb, isn't it? Vaguely sexual, but, you know, never mind.
Yes. I didn't think they would because Jeff insisted, because we have a big squirrel population in southeast London, and he insisted on putting quite heavy gravel all over them.
Yeah,
do you have to do that in the country or not?
No, we don't. Never done that.
I thought
that.
they'll never thrust through that.
Well,
it's like it's been fucking tarmacked, you know.
But they have come through out there. They've pushed through. Have they?
Yeah.
How lovely. I love it.
And my Australian wattle, which is similar to mimosa.
What's your Australian wattle?
What's my Australian wattle? It's the tree outside the front of our house. It's starting to bud. And it's like a mimosa, but a slightly quieter colour. And it's being completely outshone by a very bright actual mimosa a few doors up. Big clouds, a bright yellow, very cheering.
Wow.
Very cheering.
Yeah. It is cheering, isn't it? I know. And, I, you know, I mean, in my 20s and even in my 30s, I'd have thought, oh, for fuck's sake, you know.
I know. Can you imagine being somebody in their 20s or 30s accidentally tuning into this podcast, you know, and thinking, fucking hell, one of them shat herself, the other one can't lift a kettle. Dear God.
I mean, it's a terrible insight, isn't it? I mean, it must be a terrifying insight into the kind of thing that goes through women of our age.
This is what happens to you. Well, you know, I used to be quite rock and roll, but there we go.
I was never very rock and roll, but there was here and there.
You had a tendency now and again. Okay, now, I'll tell you where we should go now, is to your mate doing the Interrail.
Oh, yeah. Now, I tell you what, I met one of my... She's slightly younger than me. I met one of my mates the other day. Yeah. And I suppose she's kind of maybe late 50s. Had lunch with her and she said she's about to do Interrail, right?
Yeah.
And she's doing Interrail. In fact, maybe she's just turned 60 because I think you get... Because, you know, you remember in the old days, like as teenagers, some clever bods did that, didn't they?
Phoebe did it. She got a ticket. Yes, she did. It was like when she left school... So so it's over 10 years ago now. But yeah, she and her mate did Europe with a train ticket.
Did they have a great time?
Well, I mean, you know, she lost all her belongings in Budapest.
Of course she did, obviously.
You know, and I got a couple of calls from Constance. But, you know, it was quite odd. And then her camera was stolen. And then it was returned about a year later. Very odd.
Blimey. Anyway. So, I missed out and I kind of always wanted to do it. But, She's going interrailing. Apparently, there's a cheap ticket for the over 60s. And I think it even gets a bit sort of cheaper as you get even older than that. And it's about £500 for unlimited rail travel around Europe for a month.
Does that include this country? Because you can barely get up to Manchester for £500 if you're going first. Yeah, I mean, it's nonsense.
I know. So what she's doing is she's going up to Norway, apparently, and then she's going to see what the weather's like, and she's going to come down through Sweden, and then she's doing all these things and sort of, you know, just literally taking one kind of a rucksack. And I just thought... Oh,
where's
God,
she
going to
wash
exciting.
Her pants? I suppose she has to book into what, hostels or hotels?
Well, I think she's doing a bit of Airbnb and she's seeing how she goes, you know. And I just thought, I came away from that lunch. You know, sometimes when you think, well, I've had a nice lunch, but it's made me you know, dissatisfied with my lot.
That's why I don't have friends.
It's wise.
You keep your friendship circle quite small because otherwise you just know loads of people who make you jealous.
Exactly. It's probably why you're friends with me, isn't it? No question.
Well, no. Sometimes I get jealous of you, I have to admit.
Do you?
I think, oh, bloody Judith, Lagomera. but there we go. Anyway.
Maybe want to do it. I came back.
By yourself? Do you think you'd be good by yourself?
Oh, no, I think I'd have to do it. You'd have to do it by yourself. It wouldn't count, would it? If I went with Mike, it wouldn't count. I don't think that would count. But you know that thing we talked about last week of kind of having this streak, you know, this kind of, you know, increasing sort of potential appetite that we'll probably never act on, which is to kind of run away, you know,
absolutely. And change your life.
Can't do it anymore. And, but also, wouldn't it be exciting, you know, as a woman of our age to sort of, you know, be there on your own and kind of get into conversation with people and, I don't know, you could pretend you were doing all sorts of things.
It could get quite Agatha Christie. I'm not sure, Judith. I think left to my own devices, I could get very lazy. Right. And I'd have an itinerary of things that I should be ticking off and I just wouldn't bother doing anything. I'd just end up sitting in cafes until I'm allowed back on the train.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to come home, would you? Because it'd be embarrassing. You know, you'd have made it quite a big thing.
And I don't think trains are what they used to be, really, you know. I mean, they don't have restaurant cars anymore. It's not... trains with a restaurant car. If we're talking about restaurant cars, then I'm up for it.
Oh, is that right? Is that the... I think maybe some foreign trains probably do, don't they? I mean,
then
I think
I'm more interested.
Are you?
I think sometimes when holidaying alone is a dangerous thing because I think you need a witness to prove how cultural you are.
True.
Yeah,
I think I'd get tired of it pretty soon. But there's an element. But I would like to try. I think I would quite like to try. I think I would struggle with eating on my own though in the evening. I think, you know, the evenings would be the struggle, wouldn't they? You know what I mean? You kind of get back to your room at 8:30, having guzzled your food down,
And then what do you do?
And then what do you do?
You'd just be masturbating on a train. It's not, yeah. And then you have to share a sleeper. It's not really, it's not fair on other people.
Yeah, apparently you have to do that. Apparently on the continent, as we used to say, the sleepers, you don't, you know, you do, you sort of book it in and there are four bunk beds and you know, yeah, there's kind of other people
that
in
could,
there.
That could either be quite good fun or absolutely disgraceful. Oh, I do love a railway station, though, and there are some corkers in Europe. I love... Have you been to Porto? It's all tiled.
No, I'd love
it's
to go there.
Spectacular. And then, of course, Grand Central Station, which... Do you know, when I went to New York, and I think I've been twice, I can't remember, once I'd seen Grand Central Station in New York, I wasn't that fussed about seeing anything else.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? I know
it's
it is
just
very, very beautiful.
Really magnificent. It's like the beginning and the end of the middle of the world. It's absolutely fabulous. But there we go.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. Anyway, we have an apology to make to our listeners, do we not? And it's not just about tray cloths.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. Yes, I think I came over as a bit weird, really, with my tray cloth habit.
But anyway, we did get quite a few letters saying, what is a tray cloth? But more of that when we get to your emails.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But we have an apology about our brilliant big idea.
I know. And I think, because we went out all guns blazing, didn't we, with the idea of an arts and crafts weekend for the gang. And we had some fantastic emails from people saying not only that they would like to come and be on the waiting list, but they would like to do some of the classes.
We're having to park it for the time being, aren't we, really? To concentrate on other potential projects.
Yes, we are. And I think it's more complicated than I suppose we'd really thought.
You looked into it, Judith. You put your producer's hat back on because I just went, I don't know what to do. I've got this idea. It's a great idea. Why don't we all just have loads of fun over the weekend and do drawing and colouring in?
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You said, yes, but... And then there's all sorts of insurance and accommodation and food. And really, what we're really angling for, and we've tried this before and nobody's really taken the bait, is for somebody really organised, loads of money to say, I can solve this for you. I will sort it all out and we're going to do it.
Nice, I know.
Yeah, we're going to do it this weekend in June.
Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, hopefully we will do it one day. It's just finding the right venue and the right accommodation and making it sort of financially pay and all that. So,
And it's good doing something half-assed and half-baked that people are so disappointed by that they want their money back.
Yeah, so we haven't forgotten about it, but it is kind of on the back burner at the moment. Yes.
Okay. So what else have you been up to this weekend? Have you had any highlights?
Time. Yes, I have. I went to Bletchley Park.
Ooh.
You know, the kind of spy HQ in the Second World War. And have you ever been?
No.
Oh, it's really good. It's a great day out. In fact, so good, I wouldn't mind going back. And, I sort of wanted to go for ages. So, and there was a sort of...
I don't even know where it is because it's so secret.
It's not that far from here, but it's kind of quite near to Milton Keynes. And the reason they chose it is that it's on the train line from Euston. So lots of people come up from, you know, or you could go down and see the government ministers easily.
Yeah.
But it was also sort of, it's kind of equidistant from Cambridge and Oxford and all the kind of brainy types that worked it all out could get to it very easily. So, yeah, somebody bought this massive sort of, you know, stately home. And then they
that's what we want for our arts and crafts weekend.
Bletchley Park. That's the, That'd be stylish, wouldn't it?
They just could clear out the Enigma machine for a weekend.
It was fascinating, actually. And
did you see the Enigma machine? Is it
yes,
a thing?
Yes, yes. And we and obviously it was a tour. And I think for about 30 seconds, I kind of understood it. But then it's gone again. You know, one of those things. Okay, you kind of hold it in your brain and think, yes, OK, I've got it. I've got it.
I've got it. I've got it.
Oh, I've
break this code.
Oh, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone now. And I can't tell you.
Can't even remember my middle name anymore.
Dear.
I know.
It's really complicated. I mean, it's extraordinary, honestly. Many things that were extraordinary about it, not least of which people kept the secret about it. Many people for their entire lives about what they were doing there, the people that worked there. And, yeah, I mean, it didn't really come to light, apparently, until the 1970s, what was going on there.
I don't think people can keep secrets anymore. I think that we have become very used to spilling
sharing.
Our guts.
I know.
And in the olden days, people just didn't share anything. You didn't talk to anybody about your religion, how much money you earned. Things were kept secret.
That's
also
true.
You know, families had proper secrets. Now everyone's saying, oh, you know, well, my uncle Jim went to prison and, you know, had 18 illegitimate children. And in the olden days, that would have been a shameful secret. And now everyone's going, it's a bit of a laugh, isn't it?
It's true, isn't it? Our attitude to that, it really has changed. I mean, I don't know that I would have been wired for it anyway. I mean, let's face it, wouldn't have been able to decode anything anyway. But
Judith, you and me and technology, I mean, the thing is, you just needed sir or miss over your shoulder all the time.
All the time.
Yeah,
I know. But you know, as everybody knows, it was full of women. I think there were 9,000 people, 75% of them were women. The women were mostly, it has to be said, doing a kind of very tedious work, of course, which was decoding the Morse code messages. So what is it? They found all these radio messages. And so these sort of
And they came in from all over Europe, didn't they? It was all the DDD dot, 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 dash, dash, dash.
Somebody would have to type all that out, all the Morse code stuff. Then it would go over to the
mouse code.
And then it would go to the sort of the kind of brainy types that would look at trying to sort of work out what the code was and the patterns, all these patterns. And apparently it went from like a possibility of millions to 15 in the end, because these math geniuses kind of tried to work it out. And crossword people who were brilliant at crosswords, lots of women as well doing that.
Well, women can knit, I've always said. If you can knit a Fair Isle beret, then you can decode a Nazi whatever.
Well put. I know I can't do bloody knitting patterns. So eventually they kind of cracked it. And then the buggers changed it. They were decoding all the messages, apparently. And then for some reason,
Have you written a project about this, Judith? Sounds like you might have just got home and written a project and illustrated it and I'm waiting for someone to give you an A.
But I was listening. I was really fascinated.
I'm glad you had a good day out.
I would recommend it as a day out. Really, really interesting. Yeah.
So any food sensations?
I tell you what. Now, we went to Bath for the day and there was a sweet shop and I know I shouldn't have gone in.
What were you doing in Bath?
Oh, well, we were very grown up. We went to see a matinee at the Old Vic, the Theatre Royal rather. But anyway, there was a sweet shop and I know I shouldn't have gone in. I went in and I thought, I'll just have a look. Now I knew when I came out with some Pontefract cakes.
Oh, have you not had them before, Judith?
Not for years. Oh my God, they're good, aren't they?
Well, they were my nana's favourite and they're like the licorice equivalent of a really good steak.
They are, aren't they? Because they're not going to pull your fillings out and they're not too dry, but they're not too soft and they're quite sugar. Oh, they've got... I mean, I don't know. I haven't really found a source locally. Perhaps it's as well.
I think you might have to go online. I think you'll get lucky online. Or you might have to go to Pontefract, which is in Yorkshire. And go to the source of the Pontefract cakes. I think there's probably a factory still. Marvellous.
There is. God, they're good. God, they're good.
That'd be second only to Bletchley. Can you imagine? You'd be in your absolute element. A tour of the Pontefract factory with a tasting session at the end.
Oh,
you'd
a big tasting
mad.
Session. Yeah. I know. I'd come
you
out.
Love
with
licorice,
sacks of it.
You love your licorice.
I do.
Does it keep you regular? Does it keep you regular?
I think there's an element of that, but I know that somebody told me once that it's got something in it which is kind of postmenopausal. You know, the kind of it's got some substance in it which you know, is instead of estrogen or something.
So it's the licorice equivalent of HRT.
Well, yeah, I know. I missed out on the HRT, so I'm going to make do with
no. No wonder you need your double dose of Pontefract.
Well, I know,
I haven't had a taste sensation this week because I've got a very bitter, nasty taste in my mouth from the antibiotics. Lucy the cleaner came this morning, and she gave me, it was quite an odd sort of rigmarole. She heated a spoon over my gas hob, and I thought, oh, blimey, looks a bit like a drug factory now. What were we doing?
Yes, that's what I was
burning
thinking.
Up a spoon. So she had she hot spooned, right? Okay. Then she filled a spoon, it was it's like a cereal spoon, with honey, and then she mixed turmeric into it, made a sort of paste with a squeeze of lemon, and made me eat it.
God! What, you mean turmeric, the kind of stuff that you put in carrots? The brown stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
She's Brazilian. She said that's what they do in Brazil.
Yeah. Is it really? What was it like? Yeah. Sounds horrible.
Oh, awful. No, it was edible because the honey, you know, for about 5 minutes I thought, oh, this is working. And then it took away the nasty taste of the antibiotics for a little while. So there we go. So Bath, what did you see in Bath? Oh, we're going to Culture Corner.
Are we going to Culture? Yes, yes, yeah. We went to see. There's a small bit of the theatre in Bath which does kind of new plays.
Yeah.
And
is it studio or is it the main house?
It's a studio. It's called the Ustinov Studio, and it's a play about a couple. It's obviously a very modern play about sort of cancel culture and a marriage really that falls apart because one is out of step with. You know, with the other, one's older than the other, the bloke is older than the woman, they work together, and I suppose as a result of him being rather behind with kind of gender issues and cancel culture, that he sort of loses his job.
So a two-hander, did you enjoy?
Yeah, I did. Chris Marshall was in it. Yeah. And because it's a studio, we were very kind of close to them and everything. It was a nice thing to do. It was kind of a grown-up thing to do. Do you know what I mean?
Which sometimes very well done. How long did it take you to get to Bath from your place?
It's quite a long time, but it took us almost as long to find a sodding parking space.
Yeah, this
oh
is
my
it,
God,
isn't
Bath
it?
Is a nightmare.
I know. Next time I might have to think about the train. Matinees are the way forward, Judith. I haven't been able to see anything because the cough would piss everyone off. But soon, I am very behind my theatre. But we did have a little trip out on Sunday. We went to see the Chris Kilpin exhibition at the New Photographers Gallery, which is very nice indeed. Should you be in the West End, it's neatly tucked between Regent Street and Oxford Street. And this Chris Kilpin exhibition, it was... I'd read very good reviews and my niece had been to see it and thoroughly recommended it. Unfortunately, it's over now. But check his work out online, Chris Kilpin. He did a lot of work. You know where he used to live? It was mostly 80s photographs, black and white, very, very raw pictures of the coal mining communities of the Northeast.
Oh, wow.
A very uncompromising look at a completely shafted community.
In the strikes? You mean during
it was during the strikes, and it was just absolute, you know, the poverty and the devastation of the whole communities. It was just, you know, desperate, desperate times. We sort of forget how tough the 80s were.
Absolutely. Unless you were in the city. Yeah, a yuppie,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a real kind of haves and have-nots, which I think it's turning into again. But I mean, I think that this time everybody's been knocked sideways. You can't even get tomatoes. Good job. I'm allergic. So let us continue with our Culture Corner. Well done us for seeing some culture this week. TV, Judith, what are you on?
Slow Horses on Apple TV and The Morning Show also on Apple TV.
Money's worth out of the Apple TV
before it runs out. The free subscription, a free trial. The Morning Show is interesting. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
I've heard about this.
Yeah,
yes.
I think, I mean, it's obviously about, you know, a sort of daily show in the States, and it's about cancel culture as well to an extent. And a power struggle. It's good, actually. It's getting cleverer. In the first couple of episodes, I thought, no, this is all a bit obvious. But no, it's getting cleverer and great performances, actually. Also,
I think Jennifer Aniston is brilliant, actually.
Well,
I've seen a few odd films with her in, and she's always, like, really good value. I'll tell you what we've loved on the iPlayer, The Gold. And I did not like it the first episode. I just thought, well, this is just blokes. It's just blokes doing bloke stuff. And it took me some time to connect.
Yes.
But once I did, I got into it. And I thought, well, this is really, really quality stuff.
It is, isn't it? I know.
They did have a tendency to monologue, though. And I don't think people really talk like that in real life. You know, now and again, a character would suddenly spout something that sounded like you were listening to a play rather than dialogue on the television. But I don't really mind that because I quite like monologuing.
But the, you know, the kind of flouncy curtains and the
all
eye
that
makeup
80s stuff. Yeah. Was it 80s or 90s? I can't quite remember. I think it was 80s.
I think it was 80s, maybe late 80s.
Yeah.
Sort of Thatcher kind of yuppie era.
Again,
really?
Again, haves and have nots and the sort of, you know, that class war thing. I've got another recommendation for us all, which we started last night because I am in need of comfort television at the moment and sunshine. And this was a listener's recommendation, actually. And I sort of poo-pooed it and I thought, no, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give it a go because I've got to break my sad Love Island habit. Portofino.
Oh,
Hotel
yes.
Portofino.
Right.
On ITVX. I mean, I don't think it's particularly good, but it is just what the doctor ordered at the moment.
Oh,
it is an Italian villa. And, you know, set at in the rise of Mussolini. So there's some sort of political stuff in the background, but there's also love interest and clothes. That is, I think, a lot of our listeners. If you're in the need, and I don't really like gentle a lot of the time. It makes me sort of curl my fists a bit. So I'm obviously in an enfeebled state. But I have enjoyed Portofino and we will do more of it, I think.
Oh, I might give that a look.
I tell you what, Judith, as we go into the emails, I have to say last week I made a sort of funny joke, well, not particularly funny, about our listeners being owls, older, wider listeners. They quite like it.
Yes.
They quite like it.
They did, didn't they?
I feel merch coming on.
Yeah, I know. The owls. It sounds like a sort of branch of the brownies, doesn't it?
It does a bit, doesn't it?
Or the guides. The owls.
I think we should have a uniform. I think we should have a gilet with a big owl on the back.
I think we might, mightn't
we? I might. I think we've gone too far now. now, you did get yourself not into hot water about Treyklos, but there was quite a lot of dissent, not dissent, but just actually, what the fuck are Treyklos? If you'd like to explain.
Yeah, kind of. I know. Because I think, it's difficult to describe the tone of those emails from the gang. Unusually slightly critical, which is like, what? She's got what? She uses fucking Treyklos. What the hell is that? Yeah, I would like to just explain that I don't have specific Treyklos. They are just tea towels folded in half. I'm not that weird. I promise you, I'm not that weird. Okay.
I don't actually believe you, Judith. I think in your bottom drawer, I think there is one actual proper embroidered tray cloth that you inherited from your mum, because I think she was a tray cloth girl.
She was. Yes, of course I think she was. Were some embroidered ones.
I think even my nana might have had one.
Well, I think they were a thing, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were,
I think
there
was something you got for weddings and you got them for, you know, anniversaries and they were just, they were a thing. They were a thing. And we got a really a lovely email from Catriona, who's late 40s, well, she's 49, 4 months, just recovered from bowel cancer. She'd like to thank her sister Mary, 53 and 11 months, for doing the nursing. Well, she's an older sister, that's her job. And she said she spent a lot of time listening to us in the recovery, and she is stressing we should all take our bowel tests.
Absolutely.
Don't delay. If you get one of those through the post, do it and send it off. And don't leave it in your glove box like Judith did. you've had a handy hint from Louise and Emma, haven't you?
Yes, Louise, 50 and 10 months, and Emma, 49. And 1 week, sorry. Yes, yeah, she's obviously been very specific, quite right. And they both said that if you want to do a free trial for something and not forget to cancel it, what you do, apparently, is you subscribe to it, but then you cancel it about 5 minutes later. But you still, so you've already cancelled it, you don't have to put a note in your diary, and you still get the free trial. Clever.
Oh, God,
clever.
That is such...
See, the gang are on it, aren't they?
That is such an older and wider life
hack.
That is what we're all about, really. Thank you so much for that. Judith, it has been a lovely podcast. And I think, well, right now, we need to remind our audience... the listenership, the owls.
The owls, indeed.
That they can contact us at olderwiderpod@gmail.com. I have got to go, I'm doing a bit of an Arlo shift this afternoon. Not a full. Right. Have you done another full day with the twins, or are you off duty this week?
No, I haven't. No, we didn't do terribly well on the full day with the twins, I have to say. We got very behind schedule, and Eddie was sick all over himself and all over the back seat and the car seat. So, at the moment, we've been spared it for a few weeks. She's doing a staggered start back to work, so I know she's back tomorrow for a full day. But no.
Well, who's got the twins then?
I think they're going to nursery, aren't they? They must be going to the nursery tomorrow. Yeah. But anyway, we've still got the job. I mean, we haven't, you know, we've
You've
still
not
got
been
the
sacked.
Job.
Okay, no, okay. You have to try no, hard to get no, sacked from no. that. Okay, everybody. We'll leave you to get on with your whatever you're doing
faffing
today.
Faffing on. Yes, yeah. I'm faffing on for the rest of the day. As
get
in my
faffing.
Words.
Watch yeah, your back. Faffing. And take all the drugs you need.
Okay, look after yourselves. Toodlepip.
Will do. You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Daisy. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.